This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
And we are back for another episode of the Toastmasters Podcast. Ryan, we are doing something a little bit different today, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I'm going to tell a little story to give this some context. So as you know, Beau, I was recently on vacation in Florida with my family. And we were at Disney Springs, which is a wonderful place for shopping and restaurants and entertainment right outside of the Disney parks. And we were watching this insane guitar player. I think his name was Nicholas Marks. And he plays a classical guitar, sort of a flamenco style. And I had never seen a guitarist like this. My jaw was on the ground watching him. He finishes his set and then says, "Hey guys, stick around. We've got a great show coming up. We have Free Daps with us tonight, and they are freestyle rappers."
Okay.
So I see these two young white kids walk out onto the stage, and I'm thinking, all right, we've got a few minutes before our dinner reservation. We'll stick around and check out this train wreck. I mean, that's really what we were expecting, a total train wreck. And these guys, I was so amazed at how they turned the crowd around, who'd just been blown away by this insane musical performance. And they just came instantly with the comedy. The music came on and they started freestyle rapping. That's what they're all about, freestyle rappers. And using things from the crowd and from the audience. And it ended up being an even more entertaining show than the guitarist that I had just watched, who is world class.
Nice. So yeah. How does this relate to Toastmasters?
So how this relates to Toastmasters is I couldn't stop thinking about these guys in this show and their ability to think on their feet and entertain the audience. And I thought there's definitely a connection here with Toastmasters because they're doing so many of the things that we do at Toastmasters, but just in a different context. So I wanted to have them on the show to talk about what Toastmasters can learn from freestyle rappers.
All right, let's get them on.
It is my absolute pleasure to welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, Jordan Keys and Isaac Knox. Welcome, guys.
Welcome, guys.
What's up?
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, we are super good.
Yeah. I'm regular good. He's super good because he got bit by a mutant ant.
Yes, exactly.
You're in Florida. Those are some of the dangers of Florida.
Right.
Yes. That's radioactive ants, flying crocodiles. It's all down here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right. So you guys are members of a group called Free Daps. Share with us, what is Free Daps? What's it all about?
Well, Free Daps started out as the two of us. We're the founding members. We make music together. We love rap. We love battle rap. We love wordplay and all in all of its forms.
We love improv.
Yes, we love improv. And so Free Daps is a group of people who love to mesh together freestyle rap. And improv. So that can come about in many forms, whether it be in the form of rap battles, improv shows, freestyle rap shows, or something somewhere in between. We're all about it.
Yeah, it all kind of blends together, but yeah, that's basically it.
How'd you get started in this? Was this like an accident? Did you see something on YouTube and said, "Hey, I want to do that," or, you know, what's the story?
I think from a young age, we've been fans of rap, and we were also theater kids growing up. So those two aspects, not that we purposely set out to put them together at the very beginning, but those are two things that we've always loved and have always been had a real passion for. And we started out just doing rap songs that we recorded and made and as a group. But while we were touring, we would be freestyling about, you know, in the car, we'd freestyle about passing road signs, you know, or cars that we saw or anything interesting just to try to make each other laugh and entertain us on the road. And then we kind of started incorporating that in our shows. And not that we were the first people to do that, but really trying to incorporate that into our our regular concerts and our shows an element of freestyling about what was going on in the crowd or what the crowd had or what we were seeing. And that's what we turned into, eventually turned it into a whole show. So now we have, now we do shows sometimes that are all just music that we've recorded, or sometimes it's all completely freestyle rap, or sometimes it's a mix of the two.
Yeah, and I should mention also that we got introduced to the like live element of freestyle rap through the fact that Orlando is actually kind of a hub for that art form.
Yes.
There's only a few places in the world where there's a lot of it, and we started discovering in the local music scene a lot of open mics where pretty much all of the MCs were great off the cuff and would be doing freestyle ciphers. Then we stumbled into a place called Austin's Coffee, which on Monday nights is a completely improvised rap night. And we eventually started hosting that night. So once a week for 3 years, we were on stage multiple times a night, making up rhymes about the crowd and being part of a whole community of people that do that. We kind of were just very fortunate to, yeah, as we were seeking out the local music scene, to discover that this art form that we had kind of always wanted to be a part of, yeah, that it existed and that we were welcomed into it. And that's where we sharpened our skills and took it on the road.
Cool.
That's awesome. Now, I saw you guys play twice in Disney Springs, and then it wasn't till after that, till I got back home to Massachusetts, that I started coming across your rap battles on YouTube. And now I want to ask you guys about that, because you guys are legit rap battle artists, if that's a term. And so our audience knows that means you can see videos of Jordan and Isaac going toe-to-toe with guys with like face tattoos and guys that have served jail time. And I think, yeah, I've even heard, you know, Isaac.
Well, what do you assume? We haven't served jail time.
No, you. I <didn't>.
I don't actually have rosacea. It's a pink face tattoo that is lightly spread across my cheeks.
Yes, these freckles
evenly distributed, right?
I promise you that.
Right. So I want to ask you guys, what was that like going into that environment where, let's face it, you guys were a little bit of a wild card.
It was something that we had such a passion for it. Mm-hmm. And going into it, we didn't know what we were getting into. And I can't speak for Isaac, but my first time going to a rap battle, I was absolutely destroyed. Like, I was just annihilated. And it really hurt me like very deeply, because I was like, wow, I was just not prepared for this at all. But the scene around me was encouraging, and you know, everyone was, you know, would laugh because, you know, I wasn't very good, but they also, nobody was like, you don't belong here, get out. It was like, no, keep working on it, keep practicing. And that's the other crazy thing, is that people look at it in those moments in the battle, it's very contentious and it's very aggressive, but the scene as a whole around that is one of the most welcoming, encouraging, interesting, warm, even communities I've ever been a part of.
It's a lot like stories that you hear about, like WWE wrestling. I mean, we live in Orlando, and WrestleMania was just hosted here, so that's everything I've been seeing on my Facebook timeline this week. And you hear all these stories about how it's such a like tight community, that the wrestlers are some of the nicest people off camera that you've ever met, that they're all basically teddy bears. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'm gonna say most battle rappers are teddy bears. Like, they really are. When the camera's off. And I think that there is something therapeutic about getting to be so aggressive and intense in your sport and go head to head at somebody, but know that it's not personal. That, you know,
it's just like a tennis match or basketball or football.
Exactly. And so knowing that it's for sport, knowing that it's for show, and that there is a competitive understanding there. And then once the game's over, once the battle's over, like, it's a really supportive and cool scene.
And a mutual appreciation for each other's skills as well.
Oh yeah.
And you can often see that as the battle ends, and after these two people have just shredded each other to bits, you know, it ends with a hug.
Exactly. Usually ends going to Denny's or Waffle House.
Yes. Right.
So now you guys a lot of times are in a situation where some of these rap battles are, let's face it, not safe for work. Not approved for children under 18. But you guys keep it clean. You know, even if people are saying some very disturbing things to you, but when you also keep your sense of humor about it. I haven't seen in any of these videos you guys getting upset or in a huff. So what's the mindset going into it?
I mean, one of my favorite parts about battle rap is that if you let it get to you, if you start to show like an aggression outside of the words you're saying, that it's kind of a show of weakness, you know? It's funny. Battle rap is one of the most like non-violent outlets, because turning to violence is kind of admitting a loss. And right. So you kind of are forced to keep your composure in that sense. We also have legitimate fun with it.
Yeah.
We are just kind of nerds about the wordplay and about the different angles. We like following the like just the storylines of what's happening in each battles and with particular rappers in it. So for us, it's pretty natural to just enjoy ourselves and laugh at lines being said to us.
Yeah, and Isaac says this the best. He says we basically treat it like we're writing a persuasive essay and read about why the other person is bad, or why we don't like them, or why the crowd shouldn't like them.
Right.
You break it down into three, you know, like a 5-paragraph essay. You got your intro, you got 3 main themes that you want to hit on, and then you close it out. And so if you look at it that way, you break it down into like, this is fun. This is something I want to be good at. And the skill level you have there is where you place your confidence, rather than any sort of physical intimidation or anything like that. You place it in your showmanship and in your writing.
Yeah. And jumping to the first part of your question too, about us keeping it clean, that was a natural thing for us because of the homes that we grew up in. So mm-hmm. I think that the fact that we keep it clean is a trying to like, you know, honor the wishes of our parents. Cause you know, we know they're going to see the battles, you know, whether or not they like the battles is another story, but they will see them.
And if a rapper doesn't respect his mama, then he's not a real rapper.
It's true. That's one thing all rappers can agree on. You respect your mama. So
yes.
If she don't want you swearing, don't do it.
You don't do it.
But in general, I think that art with words has a lot more longevity when it's profanity-free, because, you know, when we're listening to classic radio stations, we're not listening to songs that need a lot of editing. And so if we want our work to last in a way that it can be passed down to generations, you don't want it to have to be filtered. You know, I feel like censoring work waters down what the art is, so we make work that doesn't need that in the first place.
Right. I see a lot of parallels to stand-up comedy, because you have, you know, the blue comedy when you throw in a lot of the words that are unnecessary, and then you have the completely clean comics.
Yeah,
like Jim Gaffigan.
Brian. Jim Gaffigan. Oh, geez, yeah, Brian Regan. He's my favorite all-time comedian. And these guys are brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and they don't have to resort to any of that. It seems like you get to go that extra step if you don't fall for the low-hanging fruit of a lot of the profanity.
And that's not to say that comedians who choose to go blue don't have aren't saying anything important or saying anything worthwhile, but there's definitely a sense of when multiple generations can enjoy something at the same time, at any level of maturity, at any level of preparedness for whatever the content may be. I think that there really is something to be said for that being something that's worthwhile, and that, like Isaac says, that will last, not only because it's good, but because it's something that, you know, a dad can show his kid, or we've had times where people have, and this isn't just us, but other battle rappers who have chosen to go a more clean, family friendly route, their battles are used, battles and songs are used in classrooms and poetry classes, mm-hmm. and writing classes and stuff like that, from, you know, elementary school to college. But when you have that, it's something that can be enjoyed no matter what, and can be used as an education tool as well as a tool for entertainment.
Yeah, and the fact that some of these battle rap rounds from similar MCs have been able to be used in an academic field also speaks to the fact that keeping it clean forces you to up your game in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because you have to find a way to be just as effective without being able to lean on some more low-hanging shock value. So it really just kind of, I think it's made us better in, you know, whereas other people would think that it's, you know, tougher.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now let's talk about performance anxiety for a little bit. Clearly you guys are in front of a lot of people. Have you gotten over like this initial performance anxiety, or do you feel it all the time? You just have better control of it. Tell me about that.
I can't say that I've completely eliminated anxiety, even though I've done upwards of, you know, I mean, probably hundreds to maybe 1,000 shows of just the show we do at Disney. Like,
yeah, I think we're definitely past 1,000 mark at Disney.
Okay, yeah, and so that just in those 2 years of doing the show, I still can't say that there's no anxiety, but I think whatever anxiety I do have, I think I've learned to channel that into energy and into more focus. Because if I'm too relaxed going into something like that, I'm off my game.
Yeah.
Because there's a level of edge that you need to be on, mm-hmm. whether especially in something that's so impromptu, that if you're not on that edge, then at least for me, that's not true for some people. I know that some people like to be completely zoned out when they do stuff, but especially for the kind of show we're doing that is so detail oriented and so focused on pinpointing topics and memorization and using info that you've just gleaned and then repurposing it, I don't think there's any way you can do it if you're not at least on edge just the littlest bit.
Yeah, for me, every like new opportunity or potential platform or like debuting a new show or element of our show, anything that's like new that hasn't really been tested or an audience we haven't played for, I'll have a new set of nerves. But I appreciate those nerves so much. Going back to what he said, that edge makes you better. So sometimes if I feel too relaxed before an important show, I'll actually be frustrated with myself because I feel like I don't have that edge. I'm obsessed with the Rocky series, so I'll feel like I don't have that eye of the tiger if I'm feeling too relaxed or too like this is obviously going to go fine. Then I've just kind of shot myself in the foot. Yeah, gotcha. That's we're not completely overperforming anxiety, but we've learned to harness it. And usually for me, it's usually I'll be pretty relaxed all day. Then I'll be freaking out from about 10 seconds before the show starts until I get my first positive reaction. And as soon as I get my first positive reaction, then it's like, oh, if you like that, I can do more for you.
But like a puppy.
There's like that little gap. They can be 30 seconds to 2 minutes, depending on, you know, how it goes in the show, where I'm freaking out and doing everything to not let it show on my face.
Nice.
I love that. What we say in Toastmasters is we learn to help our butterflies fly in formation. So I want to ask you guys a little bit more about the impromptu thinking, I guess I should call it, and speaking. Because as we've been saying, you'll take information either that you're seeing out in the audience, characteristics of people, objects people are holding up, or you'll bring audience members up and interview them and then immediately come out with start spitting lines about them. So What can you share with us as Toastmasters? As you guys know, we have this section of our meeting called Table Topics, where we give impromptu speeches for 1 to 2 minutes on a topic that's given to us right before we're supposed to start speaking. So what tips can you give for Toastmasters on how to improve impromptu thinking and speaking skills?
I think that there's a tool that we use in the way that we freestyle that I think can potentially translate pretty well. So the way that we freestyle is we often use a technique called target rhyming, which is where, you know, we know what we want to end up like rhyming, so we set up something that rhymes with it and then lead to that target rhyme. Hmm. Well, I think that the same thing can be done in speaking, where you think of like what your main points you want to get to are, you think of key phrases or, you know, ways that you really want to button a sentence or a point, and you start training yourself to be able to lead to it. Because something that I see happening with all sorts of improv, but I see it happening with public speaking all the time, when somebody like leads with their main point and they're not quite sure where to go afterwards because now they've said it and now they're just filling time. Whereas if they could learn to like reverse that and find the best way to get to that point and button with that point, I think that you would find a lot more succinctness just effectiveness to, you know, what's being said.
For us that comes from having done it so much that we trust ourselves to get to that point.
Oh,
to give ourselves the space to get there. and trust ourselves, knowing that we have the skill to even if we're not hitting that big point, that we have the skill to keep someone interested and keep someone invested as we make our way to that point.
Yeah, we teach freestyle rap classes, and the first thing that we do, because it's the only way that you can effectively get somebody to learn this skill, is we do games where they practice not rhyming, where they practice messing up, where we have people tell embarrassing stories about themselves. And basically the whole point of it is to stop fearing, you know, what people think, which obviously I'm sure is a core, you know, thing that any leadership or speaking program would already have built in. But we know that space that your head is using to be worried is space that could be used to say more effective things and to be doing your work better. So if you can eliminate the fear or the insecurities from your mind, now suddenly you have 100% of your brain space to really be your best. And mm-hmm. So shaking that out is obviously key.
And that space that you could be dedicating to create not only creating your point and better setting it up, but also engaging with the audience, making eye contact, taking cues from body language and verbal visual reactions as you're getting to where you know you're going to end up, because you trust yourself and you know that point is going to be worthwhile when you get there.
Right. In all the videos I've seen of you guys, as well as the live shows I've seen, I don't think I've ever seen either one of you miss, meaning get to a point where there's no word that rhymes with the word ending with the last. So, but I imagine Orange. It must have happened sometimes. As Toastmasters, if we forget our line, we would, I guess it's maybe different for different individuals, but a lot of times the speaker will just pause for a moment and collect their thoughts and then move forward. But you can't really do that in the form of a song. So what do you or would you do if you came up short?
What you'll see a lot of freestyle rappers doing is some have a crutch phrase or what they call a crutch line or a crutch phrase, where it might be half of a line, it might be two whole lines, but just something that we know, so something that we say that allows us to reset while we're saying it, because we've said it so much, whether it be just rhyming with your name or rhyming with the name of the person you're, like in our case, rhyming about the person that you have, reiterating a point that you may have already said, but knowing that while you're saying those two things that you already know the rhyme with and you already know what you're going to say, you have that time to reload, rethink, and say, okay, I'm back on track while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's basically the technique of like going back to your key point and repeating it as a way of saying something that you know you can kind of say on autopilot that is maybe worth repeating anyway.
Yes.
And because it's on autopilot, your brain is like subconsciously working back to find the next interesting thing you wanted to say.
And re-kickstarting, rebooting basically from there.
Yeah. What's funny is actually talking about, you know, forgetting lines and stuff. One of the reasons that I fell in love with improv is because of it's a short story about me making a speech in a speech contest in school. So real, real fast. I was in the fifth grade and I was in the school speech contest, and I guess I did well enough to move on to the county. So now, instead of giving a speech to like my classroom or students that I knew, I was in front of like 1,000 people at a school I didn't know. And I got one sentence into my speech in front of all of these strangers, and I completely blanked on my lines, having no knowledge that you could improvise or anything. And so as the fifth grade professional I was, I decided the best thing I could do was just start crying. And so I'm like weeping into this microphone in front of all of these strangers with my mom and my teacher watching me and just looking like an idiot. And I just kept doing that until my teacher, Miss Lemon, which sounds like a made up teacher name, but that was her name. And she took me off stage and took me to Wendy's. So it was a happy ending. But so then So then when I ended up seeing, you know, a show like Whose Line Is It Anyway, or seeing freestyle rap on the internet, it like blew my mind, the idea that you could go off script, that you could just fill in the gaps in the moment. And I immediately fell in love with that element, because I was like, if I can do this, then I'll never have that like blanking moment nightmare again. Anyway, just that has been the thing that led me into improv,
which a seminal moment for our young friend Ivan.
So, and I think it's why you don't see us missing so much in our shows anymore, because the whole point of learning to improvise was the determination to get to a point where that wouldn't happen anymore.
Well, good. There's hope for all of us then.
Yeah, that is awesome. Yes. This has been fascinating. It's been insightful. It's been a lot of fun. I want to ask you guys, I'm putting you on the spot here, but are you down for a little freestyle?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
absolutely. We can do a little something
for you.
All right. So use the words orange, walrus. I just Googled words that don't rhyme. No, I wouldn't do that to you.
how can we give this some structure?
Well, we talked about Toastmasters, right? We'd want to do something about Toastmasters. Toastmasters, public speaking organization. See if he could work in, Smedley?
Ralph Smedley. Smedley. He's the founder.
Ralph Smedley.
Yep.
Got
he's the no longer alive. He's passed away.
Okay, made up teacher name.
All right.
Yeah. And what else? Maybe improv speaking. There's some things.
All right.
All right.
Do that?
Yeah, we can do
that. Throw Ryan and Bo in there as well.
All right.
You want to beatbox first? You want me to beatbox and go four fours?
It doesn't matter. I'll rap first.
All right.
Yeah. Toastmasters, go faster. I could flow after. Preach, I'm no pastor. Yes, that's right, and now it's what we're needing. This was just a meeting talking about public speaking.
Yeah, I'm about to make a loud medley. Yeah, cause you know I spit it out freshly. Yeah, cause they say that I'm down sexy. Plus I gotta make a rap about Ralph Smedley.
Yeah, you want raps and you should call us. Off the door hinge, the orange, the walrus. Or my performance, yes, it's looking gorgeous. It doesn't really matter, but the fruit made my core twinge.
Yeah, so you know that we've been on, dude. Like the speaking that is impromptu, talking orange. Yeah, I got a rep, fam. Yes, I am the walrus, but I'm not the Beatles. I'm not the Eggman.
No lying. Yes, my flow's trying to be with chilling with Bo and Ryan. Yes, or maybe Ryan Bo. I'm not lying though, but I got some kind of bow that ends with a tiny arrow. Yes.
Yeah, with some kind of flow. Yeah, that's the end of our timing though. But I looked at my watch. Where did the time could go? We've got to leave because we've got an out-of-town timed of show.
All right.
That was incredible. You guys are the best.
Good job, guys. Good job. And thanks a lot for coming on with us and sharing some of your ideas about public speaking and impromptu speaking and performance anxiety. It was some really good ideas. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, where can our listeners go to learn more about Free Daps and get your music?
Freedaps.com is a great resource where you can see things about our improv shows. You can also get our music. You can contact us through that or on any social media at Freedaps, which is FreeDaps. That's Daps like raps.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks again, guys. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.